that sounds like resting. Where's the aim? Come on. You do better than that. Are you really resting in the Lord? I mean, you're really dependent on him? That's a big amen, isn't it? All right. Well, I hope everybody is having a great morning. We had a wonderful meeting earlier. And, you know, we talked about and thought about the peace of the Lord. We thought about the blessings we have in Jesus Christ, the gift of God. You know, we thought about all of those things, and that's the season that we're in. You know, we're in that holiday season, aren't we? You know, we're kind of right in the middle of it. You know, it begins at Thanksgiving and it ends at Easter. Unless you want to count Halloween. I don't count Halloween. You know, I don't really count that. Some people might count that. You know, but it begins at Thanksgiving. We can all be thankful for the things we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get to Christmas and we remember the fact that Jesus Christ was born and he was placed in that manger. And our brother Doug talked about that last week and how it was that stone carved, you know, out, and they placed the Lord in that carved out block of stone, and that was the manger. And, you know, and the wise men brought gifts to the Lord when he was in his home. And then we see the shepherds were told about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You know, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ does. He brings peace. But you know what? Then we look around the world and we say, why is there so much turmoil on earth? Why are there so many problems on earth? Why is there such divisions in this country, this nation? The further it drifts from the Word of God, the more turmoil and division and problems we can expect to find. There's going to be less peace because we have less Jesus. You know, you want more peace, you got to have more Jesus. You know, that's how you have it. You know, but we're drifting away from that in this country. The world is drifting away from that. But you know what? If we want to have that peace that passes understanding, you and I can have that. And that comes with resting in the things of the Lord. I'd just like to read a verse about that. In Philippians chapter 4, I hadn't planned on this, but it was brought to mind. You know, it says in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Are you rejoicing in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you enjoying Christ? Do you celebrate him? You know, we gathered together this morning to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Brothers and sisters, that's our opportunity to rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And you know what? That includes all of us. And he saved each one of us. So we rejoice in that. We rejoice in what the Lord has done. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Now, that's a big part of 2024. Be anxious for nothing. You know what? By nature, I worry about things. I'm an anxious person. My father was an anxious person. And you know what all of that anxiety did for my father? Gave him a massive heart attack. That's the shame of it. I don't want that. So I got to be anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Do you want to avoid anxiety? Avail yourself of the peace of God. Let it all rest with the Lord. Whatever the problems and the difficulties and the issues are in life, let it rest with the Lord. You know, we started 2023 on a Sunday. We ended on a Sunday. You know, every year pretty much starts on the same day of the week. I don't know if you knew that or not. You know, the calendar does that, except in a leap year. 2024 is a leap year, so it moves it a day. But we began this year on a Sunday. And we end on a Sunday. And what did the Lord say in Revelation? He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Isn't it wonderful to know that we begin with the Lord and we end with the Lord? And our whole life in between, the whole year in between, should be a walk with the Lord. You know what? And what do we got right there? I'm a good one for slides, aren't I? You know, Ernest said to me yesterday, a picture's worth a thousand words. What do you need me for? Just look at the slides, right? Here we go. Happy New Year, right? 2024 is upon us. In a few hours, we're going to be celebrating the new year. At least some people will be. They're going to be all over Times Square, hundreds of thousands of people in Times Square celebrating the new year, waiting for a ball to drop. Think about it. I'm going to go into New York City, and you know what? Thankfully, it's not cold out. But I could go there, and it's snowing or raining and terrible weather conditions, and I'm going to stand there, wall to wall, arm in arm with hundreds of thousands of people that would probably rather pick my pocket than celebrate the new year. Anyway, I shouldn't say that. But I'm going to wait for some crystal ball to drop down and a countdown to go to zero. Isn't my life more valuable than that? Isn't your time more valuable than that? But that's what people do. That's what they celebrate. So they wait for the ball to drop. But then over here on the right side, what do we got there? That's Solomon's temple. I'm sure you knew that. What's coming down there? The presence of God, the glory of God, you know, the fire of God. Which one would you rather wait for? The ball to drop in Times Square or the glory of God to be manifested in your life? And see, I'd rather be on this side where there's worship. And if I'm going to be surrounded by thousands, I want to be there with those who are there to honor the Lord. Don't we all want that? That's what 2024 should mean for us. This is pandemonium and chaos. That's what that is on the left. That's just crazy celebration. But over here, this is celebration with a purpose. They get together to remember the goodness of God. And that's what we did this morning. And that's what we did every Sunday of the year, beginning with the first Sunday and ending with the last Sunday. And you know what? By next Sunday, we may not be here. We might be in heaven, which would be even better, because then we could celebrate it in person with the Lord, right? Wouldn't that be even better? But what a wonderful Christmas season we all had, right? Everybody got up on Christmas morning and you went down to wherever you, if you have a Christmas tree, I'm going to assume that most people here have a Christmas tree. In fact, I have two Christmas trees in my house. Right now there are two. Sometimes there's up to three in my house. But you go out to your Christmas tree and you start unwrapping gifts, right? You look for that gift with your name on it. Somebody hands you a gift, you unwrap that gift. I got a watch. I don't know what anybody here got. I gave Wendy a couple pieces of clothing. I gave her a couple pieces of jewelry. That's what we give each other, those kind of gifts. Remember what the Magi brought to the Lord? Brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? Why those particular gifts? Well, the gold, you give gold to a king, right? But you know what? There's a better reason to give gold to the Lord Jesus Christ than the fact that he's king or that he's even divine. It's that gold never tarnishes. I've said this before. Gold does not tarnish. You cannot make gold tarnish. The Lord Jesus Christ will never tarnish. He does not react with the elements of the world. It doesn't impact him. And it doesn't impact gold. And then there's frankincense was given to the Lord. Frankincense has no recipe in the Bible. Incense is given to us. We know how to make that. But the Bible does not define how you make frankincense. That's the portion of the Lord Jesus Christ that only the Father can understand. It goes beyond our ability to comprehend. There's a depth to Christ that we cannot appreciate. But what we can appreciate, we should value immensely, like that on the right side. Not in crazy revelry on the left side, but in devotion to the Lord on the right side. And then there's myrrh. Myrrh was brought to the Lord by the wise men because myrrh is used to anoint the body for burial. And the Lord Jesus Christ died. How many times did he die? He died once. So then you get to Isaiah chapter 60, the Lord's second advent. And it says that what is brought to him is gold and frankincense, no myrrh, because he never dies again. We have 2024 to look forward to a year where we serve a risen Savior. He's never going to die. He's never going to die again. He died once for our sins. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. Now, we mentioned gifts. When you opened your gifts on Christmas morning, did you find a gift under the tree that when you opened that box, that package, you pulled out an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you? Did you pull that out from under your tree? Because if you did, I want your Christmas tree. Because I didn't find that gift under my tree. How about this? Did you pull out a gift that said you are a king and a priest under God? I didn't find that under my tree. How about this? Did you pull out a gift that said you rule and you reign with Christ? It's not under my tree. Was it under yours? How about one that says you're accepted in the beloved, or you come boldly under the throne of grace? Did you find that under your tree? Did you find one that says that you are seated at the right hand of God? I didn't find that. I didn't find one that said I have peace that passes understanding. Not under my tree. And I didn't find one that said you have life and you can have it more abundantly. You see, the reason we don't find those under the tree is because we can't give those to each other. Only the Lord can give it to us. And he has given it to us. You want to talk about gifts? Romans chapter 6 is the best verse in the Bible I can think of that expressed this aspect of gift. The wages of sin is death. That's not a gift. That's a payment. That's what I deserve. I deserve death. And I'm not talking about death going into the ground. I'm talking about an eternal death in a lake of fire. Gone forever, separated from God. Pay my own penalty. Never coming out. What's the rest of that verse say? But the gift of God. You see, the Holy Spirit's very careful about the language he chooses. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you find that gift under your tree? Did you find eternal life under your tree? No, you found it in the manger. You found it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us that eternal life. We can't give it to each other. As much gifts as I can give my wife and she can give to me, none of it will ever come close to what Christ has done for any of us. So we have all of these wonderful gifts that the Lord has given to us. Now we've gone through Christmas and we're entering into a new year. What's your new year going to look like? Do you have any idea what's going to happen in the new year, what's coming to you in the new year? You know, we can look back on the old year. We can look back on 2023. And we can see the events of 2023. There's a lot of ways to find out about the events of 2023. My memory's filled with those events. We can go online and we can look up those events. We don't really need faith to look back on what was in 2023. We know what it was. But do you have any idea what's coming tomorrow? The day after or the day after that in 2024, I have no idea what's going to happen. But you know what? I don't have to know. None of us have to know. Because what we do know is the one who knows. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. And our calling is to be faithful in him, to trust in him, to follow him. We're going to follow him into 2024. And what does it say here? Be anxious for nothing. You know what? Tomorrow can bring a lot of anxiety because I don't know what's going to happen. But I know the one who does know what's going to happen, and he's out there already. We all know him. So if we know him, there's no reason to be anxious. That's Paul's great truth here. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because we know Christ. The Lord is at hand. He's right there. And he controls everything in our lives. And he watches every step we take. He said, I'm the great shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. If he gave his life for you and I, is there any event in 2024 that's coming in your life that he doesn't already have control over? Think about 2023. And think about the promises of the Lord. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I hold you in the palm of my hand. No man plucks you out. He says you have eternal life. He's promised that to everyone who belongs to him. Can you look back on 2023 and find a day when the Lord ever said, you know what? I'm not holding you in the palm of my hand anymore. I'm dropping you. You know, I can't hold on to you anymore. Did he do that? Did he ever say you don't have eternal life anymore? He didn't do that. And he's not going to do it in 2024. And was there an event in your life that came along in 2023? And I don't know what happened in everybody's life. And I can speak for myself, the events in my life, the issues in my life that came along that I had anxiety over. You know what I found out? That anxiety was misplaced and it was worthless because the Lord took care of it all. He never let me down. Not once in any level, in any way in 2023. And I have no reason to think that he will let me down in 2024. No reason to think that. So would we rather be celebrating an unknown year on the left that's coming up that they feel is filled with promise, but they have no idea what that is? It's kind of gambling. Or do we want to be on the right celebrating a God that we know that holds the unknown year in his hands? It's not unknown to him. He's got it all under control. You see, I'd rather be over here on the right. And I think everybody would. I think that's where we'd rather be. So when we think about what the Lord has done for us, we think about the blessings that we have in him. You know, what a wonderful truth it is. You know, what comes along with New Year's? What's that? Resolutions. Right? I resolve to. Right? Everybody wants to make a New Year's resolution. I make a New Year's resolution right now that I'm not making any New Year's resolutions. You know? I'm not making any New Year's resolutions. You know, in fact, when that ball drops, I intend to be sawing wood. That's what I want to be. You know? I'm not interested in watching that fall, but that's okay. If you want to watch that, I'm not criticizing it. But anyway, New Year's resolutions. Do you know what the popular New Year's resolutions are? The five top New Year's resolutions. Here they are. Number one, I'm going to enjoy life more. Okay, how are you going to do that? You're going to enjoy life more, travel more. Okay, you're going to do that. I would rather not travel as much and enjoy the Lord more. Wouldn't you rather do that? I'd rather enjoy the Lord more than travel more. Maybe I can do both. I don't know. But that's the world's idea of a resolution. I'm going to travel more in the new year. I'd rather walk with the Lord. If I'm going to travel, I'd rather walk with the Lord. That's traveling, right? So we could do that. That's a resolution the world has. Number two, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise more. I can tell you right now, I'm not doing that. I'm going to lay that right out there. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to eat any better or exercise any more than I did in 2023. I'm not doing it. It's not going to happen. But that's the world's resolution. But you know, the Bible says that bodily exercise profits little, right? What profits you a lot? Walking with the Lord, you know? But that's the world. Number three, we're going to learn something new. The world says we got to learn something new. So in all of 2024, you're going to learn one thing. That's what you're planning on doing, one thing. If you don't learn something every day, you're not paying attention. How about if I learn more of this, right? How about if we learn more of that? But the world says I'm going to learn something new. You know, so I learn one thing a year according to that resolution. Not doing very good. The fourth one, this is one that my father probably should have really tried. Quit smoking. I grew up in a house full of smokers. I reeked of cigarette smoke and never knew it. Everybody thought I smoked. Quit smoking. Okay, that's a good one. You know, most of Americans don't smoke anymore anyway. But if you smoke, it's a good idea to quit. It's good for your health. But, you know, that's an important thing. But all these things are about your physical health. What about my spiritual health? What am I going to do with that? You know, and finally, the fifth one, I'm going to manage my money better. Okay, manage your money better. For what end? What purpose? Maybe I should manage my finances and my resources better so that I can better apply them to the things of God. That might be a good use of that resolution. But how about spiritual resolutions? How about for you and I, as a body of believers and individual believers here at Mountain Ridge? How about what it says in Hebrews chapter 10? Now, believe me, these are not accusations in any way. These are just observations. These are just verses that I thought might be applicable to the believer in general. Hebrews chapter 10 says this: don't forsake the gathering together of the brethren. Exhort one another. So am I going to make more of an effort to put more of my time into gathering with the brethren in 2024? The church suffered an awful lot in the last few years, and we don't gather as much as we used to. We're not gathering together the way we used to. Maybe that's a good resolution for us to have, that we put more emphasis on gathering together. And why should we do that? Because the Lord said, where two or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst. So maybe we should be gathered because then it brings us closer to the Lord. They're gathering together there. The presence of God is there. Isn't that wonderful? So we gather together. How about what it says in Ephesians chapter 4? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We can all look at the fact that Jesus Christ forgave our sins, and he forgave an awful lot. He forgave an awful lot because he was willing to go to that cross for us. The Father forgave us because of what Christ did. If I'm holding a grudge against somebody, another believer, well, then I need to forgive. I need to be forgiven. See, I shouldn't be doing that because for Christ's sake, the Father forgave me. So maybe we should think about that. I don't know if anybody has any issues with one another. That's not my business. But I think it's encouraging that we remember just how much Christ did for us. And maybe we should be examples to one another that way. I think we are, but I think there's always room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. So we be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving. You know, what did the Lord say to Peter? Forgive 70 times 7. In other words, continually. That's something I have to work on in my own heart, to be more forgiving and more loving. How about what it says in Romans chapter 12? Be not conformed to this world. That's a pretty good start right there, isn't it? The world can have a serious impact on me. The distractions of the world can turn me away from the things of the Lord. And I can be conformed to the world's desires and the world's purposes. My mind can start reflecting the world. In fact, I'm in the flesh, so it's going to want to do that. The normal course of your own mind is going to be to chase after the things of the world because we're in the flesh. We have to exercise our minds and train our minds to turn away from that and onto the things of the Lord. That's why Paul continues that verse. You know, he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Am I chasing after the things of the world? If I'm doing that, then my mind is not being transformed. I'm not renewing my mind in the things of the Lord. So my best efforts are not focused on the things of God, but focused on the things of the world. Maybe in 2024, I can make it a priority to not be conformed to the world because I can easily do that, and I do that. So I should be transformed by the renewing of my mind. How am I going to do that? I better be in the Word more. We better be in prayer more. We better be about the Lord's business more, right? If you want to transform your mind and renew your mind, you're not going to do it without the leading and the help of the Holy Spirit. So maybe we should give him more purpose in our lives. I should. And how about this one? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This do in remembrance of me. That's a simple one. That's a simple one. But you know, sometimes in the morning I say to myself, I just don't want to go. You know, I have other things I'd rather do. This is me. This is for me. But you know what? Every time we're at the Lord's table and we remember him, there's a great blessing in that. There's great joy in that. Do you think that these men over here on the right that are celebrating the presence of the Lord, that are worshiping, are not having a joyous time? They're rejoicing in the Lord. In fact, that's what it says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. So we rejoice in him. You know, interesting thing about rejoicing? The Feast of Tabernacles, the last feast in the year, 7 days they're told, rejoice in the Lord for 7 days. Rejoice in your Lord for 7 days. Imagine being invited to the party, to a party by the King of England. He says, you're going to rejoice for 7 days. You'd book a flight and you'd head to England. I would, right? You're invited to Buckingham Palace. You're going to rejoice for 7 days with the King of England. Who's going to turn that down? The Lord said to his people, 7 days rejoice before me. 7 days. I have enough trouble getting to one meeting on one day. And he says, come out 7 days. What a blessing that is. 7 days. They're doing it right there. 7 days. So we think about these resolutions. I have to ask myself, how many of these resolutions do I plan on applying in my life and keeping? I got to work on those. Those are spiritual resolutions. I'm not really interested in the resolutions that men make, that, you know, that the world makes. What we need to be interested in are the resolutions that God makes. And now we embark on a new year, and where does it begin? It begins with the Lord. Where did it begin with Israel? It began with the Lord, right? They started a new year with the Lord. And where did that happen? Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Why is that important that the king of Egypt died? That Pharaoh died? Because this is the Pharaoh that had decreed a death sentence against Moses, who was a prince in Egypt, and killed an Egyptian and left. He ran. And where was he? He was in Midian for 40 years. The Pharaoh was now dead. That meant that Moses was free to return to Egypt because those who sought his life, it says in chapter 4, are now dead. So now he could go back. God's preparing deliverance for his people. In the process of time, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. Now, let me ask you this question. When you were lost in your sin, when I was lost in my sin, and I was a slave to my sin, just like Israel was a slave to Pharaoh, and you cried out in your bondage and your captivity for deliverance, did the Lord hear you? Did the Lord hear you and deliver you? Or did the Lord hear you and say, you know what? Come back next week. We'll talk about it then. Did he say that? Did he say what the wizard said to Dorothy? Bring back the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West and we'll talk. I'll grant your request. No, he didn't say that. He saved you on the spot. He heard your groanings and he saved you. Right? And God remembered their groaning. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Now, what was that covenant? That he was going to make a great nation out of Abraham. So numerous, you couldn't calculate it. You couldn't number them, like the stars in the heavens. They went down into Egypt with Jacob, only a few dozen people. They came out millions. God had fulfilled that covenant while they were in Egypt. But it says that God remembered his covenant. That's not to say that all of a sudden, because they cried out to him, it triggered his memory and he remembered what he forgot. Oh, I forgot about my people in Israel. Let me take care of that. That's not what it means. It means that he never forgot. He never forgot. They were in Egypt, being prepared for deliverance, being prepared for a new life with God. And that's exactly what he did with us. He brought us out of our captivity. And every day you walk with the Lord, you're being prepared. You're being sanctified. You're being renewed day by day. It says, though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For what purpose? Where was Israel heading? They were headed to a promised land. What's in the promised land? Presence of God, right? An abiding fellowship with God. Is 2024 going to be the year when we reach that level of abiding fellowship with the Lord individually? I hope it is for me. Because that's what the Lord wants to take us all, into a deeper relationship with himself. And you got to cross a lot of wilderness to get there. And you got to go through a lot of difficulty to get there. A lot of deprivation. Israel went through the wilderness. What did they find? They found they needed water. And they were thirsting. God brought them water from a rock. They found they were hungry. God brought them manna from heaven and quail. And they ate to their full. And when they needed leadership, God sent a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When they were cold at night, the pillar of fire warmed them. When they were hot during the day, the pillar of cloud shielded them from the heat. But in all of it, God's presence was there. 2024 is going to be a year where there's going to be difficulties, trials, tribulations, all kinds of issues we don't know, and we don't know what they're going to be, and we're going to encounter them. But we know one thing for sure, that just like Israel, who was remembered by God, you were remembered by him too. And he's going to lead you right through that wilderness. And he's never going to send you back to Egypt. He's never going to forget you. And you're going to get through that wilderness better than you started it. And it says here, God looked upon the children of Israel and he knew their plight. He knows yours too. He knows mine. There's nothing in 2024 coming up. And it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year where we can experience the peace of the Lord and have that life and live it more abundantly and rejoice in him. Israel rejoiced in him, even in the wilderness. And so can we. So where did it start for Israel? How did they get out of Egypt? We know this story, but I'm going to read it anyway because it always bears repeating, and I like it. You know, in Exodus chapter 12, the Passover. You know, we have a calendar that's filled with, you know, 6 months of a holiday season. Israel had a holiday season too. They had a holiday season. It began in the first month. And the first month included three feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. And then they got to the seventh month. And the seventh month was trumpets, Day of Atonements, and tabernacles. And right in the middle, 50 days after first fruits, you had the Feast of Pentecost. So they had a lot of opportunity to celebrate the Lord. Every Sunday we have a feast to celebrate the Lord. 2024 is going to be no different than 23. Unless the Lord comes for us. I hope he does. I hope he does. But we'll have plenty of opportunities to celebrate him. Just as Israel had plenty of opportunities. It started with a Passover. You know, it started for us with a Passover too. A sacrifice. And it says here in chapter 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be unto you a beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This is not just a new beginning. This is a new calendar. Everything behind them is to be forgotten. Not even the calendar was relevant to them anymore. This is a new life, a new start. You know, everybody here has a birthday, right? I mean, everybody was born, right? It's obvious. I was born in 1965, right? And we did it today. We celebrate birthdays, right? March 10th, 1965, I was born. That's a physical birthday. But I was born again in Christ in 1982. Unfortunately, I don't know the date, but I know the year. Some of you might know the date as well. This is the day that you're born again in Christ, when the Passover lamb mattered to you. Israel had a new start. We had a new start. And what did this mean to them? What happened here? Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall they take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall you make your count for the lamb. What does that tell me right there about the lamb? Your household's too small to consume the lamb. Share it with your neighbor. Well, the neighbor and you gather together, share the lamb. That tells me that there's an all-sufficiency to Jesus Christ. Nobody ever has too little for salvation. Nobody has too much of them. Can you have too much of Christ? I'm not hearing any no's. I'm not hearing any no's here. Can you have too much of Christ? Are you going to have too much of him in 2024? Are you going to have too little of him in 2024? Not to salvation, but I might not pay as much attention to him as I should in 2024. But I'm still saved. But 2024 should be a year that I really focus on him. Every year should, but maybe to start over in 2024. But here, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That corresponds with the Lord's time on the cross, the time of the evening sacrifice, from noon to 3. All of this is reflective of the Lord. Perfect in every way, in the prime of life, a male. And he went to that cross to give us a new beginning. A new beginning. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. That's quite an unusual thing, isn't it? This is the first time they ever had to do this. They'd never done this before. And it says in verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, right now, I would say that at most people's houses right now, on the front of their house, on their door, there's a nice Christmas wreath, right? We don't have one here, but there's one outside in the front door of the building, I think. I don't think anybody's got blood around their door. There's no blood around my door. But without that blood, you're not leaving Egypt. Without that sacrifice, you're not leaving Egypt. Without that sacrifice, without that blood, there's no new life for you. And you cannot follow the Lord to the promised land. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, he didn't say, you know what, I'm going to come into your house, and I'm going to look around, and I'm going to check everybody out, and I'm going to see what kind of furniture you have and what kind of possessions you have and see if you're really living up to my standards. And then I'll decide if you can leave Egypt. That's not what he said to us. He said, when I see the blood. And that blood is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said, this blood is a token for you. What did Peter say about us? He said that we're not redeemed with silver and gold after the vain manner of life, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish. That's a Passover. And that blood is a token upon us. If you know Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ is on you. And it is seen by the Father, and he passes over you. And the plague does not come upon you. That plague of death, the firstborn, would die in any house that did not have the blood on the door. So they begin with blood. And they follow the Lord across the wilderness, all the way to the promised land. How long did it take them to get there? How long should it have taken them to get there? Several weeks they were at the gate of the promised land. It took 40 years to get there because of their unfaithfulness at the gate of the promised land. They refused to go in. They enjoyed the wilderness too much, and they were afraid of the promised land too much. The giants in the land. We don't have time to look at that. But they sent spies into the promised land. Two of them came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, we're well able to overcome the enemies in the land. But the other 10 said, there are giants in the land. We can't defeat them. There are walled cities in the land. We can't defeat them. You know what? In 2024, you're going to run up against giants. You're going to run up against walled cities. Don't stay in the wilderness. Go into the land. Because it wasn't anybody but the Lord that was going to lead them into the land. Moses wasn't leading them in there. It was the Lord that was going to lead them in there. Moses was not going to do battle for the people. The Lord was going to do battle for the people. And in 2024, you can be assured that you're going to run into, I'm going to run into, a lot of problems in my life that are going to try to rob me of the peace that passes understanding and replace it with anxiety and with fear and with worry. But I have to remember, we all have to remember that it's the Lord who does battle for us. He's going to bring down the walls of the cities. He's going to overcome the giants. And he's going to give us the blessing. It's all his work. It's all up to him. It's not up to us. All we're told to do is be faithful and follow him. What did the Lord say in Matthew? In Matthew or Luke, I forget. He said, and this is another resolution, deny yourself, right? That's a hard one to do. That's not self-denial. That's not saying I'm going to give up Coca-Cola for a month, which I'm not going to do. I'm not giving that up. I own too much stock in the company. No. So it's not denying, you know, it's not, you know, denying yourself something. Deny yourself. Take up the cross, your cross. Take up your cross and follow me, right? It's a threefold process. So I have to deny myself. I have to recognize in me that there's no good thing. There's nothing of value in me that I can offer to God apart from Jesus Christ, right? That's true for all of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what good can I do? All my best works are like filthy rags. What can I bring? So I deny myself and throw myself on the Lord's mercy. Take up your cross. A cross is a place to die. A cross is a place to surrender. A cross is a place to crucify the flesh. Right? So in me, there's no good thing, and I bring nothing good to the table apart from Christ. But one thing I can do is follow him. And he's going to take us right in to the new year. And when I deny myself and I take up my cross and follow him, what's going to happen at the end? It's going to be great victory, great deliverance. I will bring nothing that hinders that walk with the Lord, and I'll follow him faithfully. When I thirst, he's going to give me water. When I'm hungry, he's going to give me food. He said, and Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, but my God will supply all of your needs according to your bank account, your paycheck, the gold in Fort Knox. No. According to his riches in glory. How do you measure that? By Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ went to a cross so that God could pour out upon us the riches in glory. That's what we rejoice in, the fact that the Lord is going to take us right through the new year, and all through it, available to us are the riches and glory. Just a couple more verses to close with, because I know we're getting to the end here. Another year for Israel, which is a year for us too. Leviticus chapter 25. You didn't think you were getting through this without going into Leviticus, did you? Leviticus 25, verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years. 7 times 7 in the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. That's the Day of Atonement. And shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitation thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. So what happened in that year of jubilee? That grand celebration that came around every 50 years. All slaves were set free, and all inheritance was returned and restored. It was a new beginning. We had a new beginning in the Lord when we were born again in him. Now we have a new beginning to celebrate him starting tomorrow and throughout a new year. Let's make it a year of jubilee to celebrate him. And it says the trumpet was sounded so that the whole nation would know that it was time for all to be restored and to be ready, because the trumpet was sounding. And what does it tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? You want a year of jubilee? Maybe 2024 is going to be this year. It tells us, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's something to celebrate, that there's going to be a change coming for each one of us. Not just our spiritual growth, but one day our bodies are going to be changed and made perfect. Maybe that's 2024. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory already. We don't have to fear it. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are they celebrating victory on this side? Or are they celebrating victory on that side? Are you celebrating victory in the Lord? Or just celebrating? I want to celebrate victory in the Lord going into the new year, 2024. And our brother reminded us multiple times this morning, his mercies are new every day. Every morning. Jeremiah tells us that. I hope that tomorrow morning when you wake up in the new year, that you realize that his mercies follow you through the whole thing. The whole year we have his mercies. What a blessing it is to know that we go into an unknown year, but we know the one who knows what's in that unknown year. And that's better than knowing what's in the unknown year. If I knew what was in the unknown year, I'd be worried about it. But I'd rather know the one who knows what's in the unknown year and know that he holds on to all of it. And nothing's going to affect us that he doesn't already know about and can't bring us through. He can bring it through all of it. Right into a promised land. Let's give him thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the promise and the great anticipation of a new year. Just as Israel was anticipating leaving Egypt, we had that same anticipation, and we enjoy that journey that we have with you as you take us to that place of abiding fellowship with yourself. And Lord, as we look at the new year beginning for us tomorrow, we know, Lord, that your mercy is new every morning of that new year. And there's nothing that will impact us in that year that you don't already have under control. And we look forward to depending upon you, to trusting you, and more than that, following you through all of it. We thank you, Lord, that you are a leader who we can depend on. You're a God who loves us, and you bring us right unto the throne of grace. And we praise you in your precious name.